Right to work may be grabbing the lion's share of headlines and attention in recent days, but there are many other challenges facing our state and leaders, including the very future of the city of Detroit. And as we've heard time and again on Stateside, the economic tailspin and the threat of bankruptcy matters for the entire state of Michigan. So while most eyes have been turned to the dramatic scenes of the past week in Lansing, what's been happening at Detroit City Hall? Here's Governor Snyder this morning talking about Detroit City leaders.
They're moving some things forward, but I would say there's a long list of things that they also need to get done very real time here. They need to keep going and keep the pace of what they're doing now and do many more things in the next couple weeks or so.
For an update, we turn now to Detroit Free Press editorial writer Nancy Kaffer. Nancy, we know State Treasurer Andy Dillon has certainly been front and center at City Hall in recent weeks. What's the latest?
Well, as you know, City of Detroit has been running low on cash. It needed to draw about $30 million from an escrow account in which the state is holding the proceeds of a bond sale that happened over the summer. And in order to get that $30 million draw on that escrow account, the City Council had to pass five key contracts. This happened yesterday. All five passed, most of them with a relatively tight margin. So they're going to get the $30 million that will stop Payless Paydays and a short-term cash crisis.
Yeah, for now.
For now. But that's the big question. Is a morning or a day of cooperation where things are able to move forward and progress is made and requirements are satisfied, is that signaling any kind of long-term attitude shift between the mayor and the council that would indicate that the city is any better situated to handle its deep, deep financial problems?
And we already saw there was a lot of trouble, particularly over the contract that the mayor wanted to engage Miller Canfield Law Firm, and that just raised all kinds of hackles on council. So it did not pass easily, did it?
No, and it was really needlessly controversial. The fact is, the mayor and the head of the city's law department are at odds with each other.
Crystal Crittenden,
correct. Over the summer, she took a lot of efforts to try to scuttle the consent agreement between the city and the state that has been sort of a guiding document to try to keep the city out of emergency management or bankruptcy. If she had been successful, it would have had really bad consequences for the city in terms of the city's ability to operate in the financial market. It did have bad consequences for the city because the city's bond rating was downgraded in part because of the divisiveness between the Corporation Council and her actions. So the mayor can't use Crystal Crittenden as attorney because she's shown that she's not really accountable to him. And because of the way the Detroit City's charter is constructed and because of a charter amendment that passed in November, she is not really accountable to him or to the council.
So he can't fire her, because I hear that from people. Why doesn't he just get rid of her?
To fire Crystal Crittenden requires a supermajority council vote and the mayor. The mayor needs to bring it to council. The council has to approve it by a supermajority. So it's a pretty tough standard to meet. And it makes her she gives her a very disproportionate amount of power in this issue. So the mayor needed attorneys.
Yeah.
He wanted to use the law firm Miller Canfield, and that really shouldn't have been a big deal. Part of council's objection, or some members of council's objection, was that Miller Canfield had been involved in the writing of Public Act 4, the emergency manager law that was repealed last month. And I would say, find a law firm with a municipal practice that didn't have some involvement in PA 4.
Well, that's what I wondered. And even council said there are a lot of good law firms in the city of Detroit. Why did he have to land on the one that would cause all the brouhaha?
But why does it matter? The guy should be able to pick the lawyer that's going to represent his administration. And it was really kind of a tempest in a teapot that it became such a controversial contract. This one should have been a no-brainer. But more importantly, this is symbolically, it's even more important than the mayor's ability to pick his own law firm. Because the issue is, if the mayor and council can't work together on something as simple as finding a lawyer, how are they going to work together on big reform issues? That's a real dysfunctional relationship, and there's been flaws on both sides. The mayor doesn't bring council supporting documentation in a timely fashion. He comes down to council with just giving them very short notice to vote on very important stuff. Council has been sometimes not really willing to play ball with things that obviously needed to happen.
Kind of petulant at times.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not a good relationship.
No.
And I don't know how they move forward with the big fixes for Detroit if they can't get along. And I don't know how much one morning of getting along changes that big picture.
And you know, Nancy, we're talking right now with Nancy Kaffer, who's Detroit Free Press editorial writer, who's been following for quite a long time the unraveling of the finances of the city of Detroit. And Nancy, we hear Governor Snyder say that he is studying municipal bankruptcy, but it is a last resort. Mayor Bing and council members like Gary Brown and Charles Pugh, they all say we don't want bankruptcy. But as you say, this seems to be so incredibly deeply dysfunctional. Is that why they just cannot get together to reverse this bloodbath of money?
Well, no one wants bankruptcy. And, you know, that's not what's on the table right now. It's whether or not there'll be an emergency manager in Detroit. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, bankruptcy would have bad, it would be bad. There's the first thing that happens in a municipal bankruptcy is that creditors try to show that that whatever entity is filing for bankruptcy isn't eligible. Even if you win, it takes a long time, it costs a lot of money, and that's just to file. You know, not to mention the consequences that a bankruptcy filing could have on credit ratings of government entities around the state. You know, how sympathetic would a bankruptcy court be to residents? These are all things that we really don't know. And it's, I mean, it's just a, it's not a good scenario.
Look ahead for us, Nancy. As we say, you've been following this story for a long, long time. And it seems the proverbial can keeps getting kicked down the road. Things don't get done. They can't reach consensus. Then, oh, they kind of do, like we saw with these contracts. Mm-hmm. And the city still limps along. At what point do you think that they cannot kick that can along any further?
Well, it seems like we're coming up to that point, but it seemed like that before. It was, if you'll recall, pretty much a year ago that the governor first sent a financial review team into Detroit that sort of kicked off the process that led to the consent agreement. And I think at that time, a lot of us thought, well, this is it. The shoe has dropped. They're going to stop kicking the can and things are going to change. Well, they got the consent agreement, which isn't working. And here we are a year later, another review team coming in to reassess the city's finances with an emergency manager looming. But in my opinion, the city's financial situation really needs to be assessed in a very clear-eyed way. And hopefully the governor and the treasurer and the mayor and council will all come to some conclusion that leads to some positive changes for Detroit.
And we will be keeping in touch with you, Detroit Free Press editorial writer Nancy Caffer. Thanks for your perspectives today on Stateside.
Well, thank you so much for having me.